All right, Romans chapter 5. We were talking about hope last week. Hope doesn't disappoint. I thought what I would do today, this is even before he brought up all that stuff. Okay, great segue, Dale. I wanted to look at some at different aspects of what we have, of why hope doesn't disappoint. What can we hope in? What can we hope in? What can we have absolute confidence in? Because remember, that's what that word hope means. It means an absolute confidence of something that's going to take place in the future that's guaranteed. You know what they always say? Nothing is for sure except what? Death and taxes. Right? Death and taxes. This is even more sure than death and taxes. And death's pretty sure. But guess what? We have a hope that actually transcends death, that conquers death, that can allow us to look death in the eye, and forgive me for the cheesy line, and smile. Because we have overcome the world through faith. And death is our victory in Christ. So how about this? First and foremost, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to talk about ways that things don't hope doesn't disappoint. Hebrews chapter 1. And guys, this is the foundation of the entire hope. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me." And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. This is who we have as our king, you guys. But of the Son, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions." That's our God. That's why you can have hope. That's why you can have hope. "And O you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the heavens and the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all become old like a garment. Like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." He's in control of all of this. He is on the throne. Look, there is nothing that happens in this world except by God's express permission or allowance. He's not surprised. You know, he doesn't sit back and see what happened at the election or January 6th or whatever the case might be. And he's, you know, because he has a beard. All the pictures show, you know, beard. He strokes his beard and he's like, "I didn't anticipate that. Quick, strategy session. What are we going to do?" He's like, exactly on time. And if he could tell us, he would say, this is going to lead to that. That's going to lead to this. This is going to lead to that. There's about 700 billion things that that's going to lead to. And it's going to bring about my purpose exactly on time. That's why we can hope. He has it all figured and planned. So our hope in him does not disappoint. The only thing we have to do, 1 John is full of this. 1 John is a great book to read in times like this. Abide in him. Okay, that's the essence of Christianity. Abide in him. You're set. No double-mindedness. But can I abide in him and abide in the world too? I mean, come on. Nope. You can't. I mean, you can. But it won't turn out well. Abide in him. Number one reason we can hope is because Christ is on the throne. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. Another reason why hope does not disappoint is because salvation is still available. Verse 1, in working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is still available. Look, if you are in Christ, the way the scripture lays it out is that you are saved. You are being saved, and you will be saved. Now, those might seem like contradictions on the surface, but they are absolutely accurate to explain how the Christian experience works. You have been saved. You've been born again. You are now in a state of grace. You are in a state of salvation. If you stay faithful, there's the being saved. Are you allowing God to work on you? And as you allow God to work on you, hope builds, just like the passage that we talked about. In tribulation, in perseverance, in proven character, in hope. See how it all connects? It's kind of a fancy, nice little way of putting it all together. That way he does it. Will be saved because Jesus will be revealed from heaven. You are still in a state of faith right now. When you die, you are no longer in a state of faith. No longer. We sang about it today. When my faith, I will rise. When my faith shall be my eyes. That's why one of the reasons I like that song. It has a lot of good doctrinal points in it, as opposed to a lot of modern day music stuff. It has some good doctrinal points in it. Sight will replace faith one day for us. That's the day that our salvation will be finished. We will be saved. And then there's another point later on after that where the dead will be resurrected. I will rise. Your body will be resurrected and rejoined with your soul and your spirit, and you'll be transformed to reverse completely the effects of sin. If your body still stays rotten in the ground, sin still has an edge over what God has done. So he has to erase and conquer all aspects of sin. That is why a resurrection of the dead has to take place. Because your body has to be restored and transformed to reverse the effects of sin. Otherwise, sin still has a victory. Everybody follow that? The whole thing has to be reversed, not just the spiritual side of it. We hope because Christ is on the throne. We hope because salvation is still available. And actually, I was going to go to the same passage that Dale did, so we don't have to do that. But we can hope because we can have joy in all situations. Count it joy. Count it joy. When you experience all kinds of trials, right? I mean, Paul actually says that, since we're still in 2 Corinthians 6. This passage reeks of hope in a good way. Verse 3, after he talks about the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, afflictions, hardships, and stresses, and beatings, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and sleeplessness, and hunger, and in purity, in knowledge, and patience, and kindness, and the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, and the word of truth, and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, by the right hand and the left, or for the right hand and for the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Does that sound like hope? Tell me any other system that gives you that. That can be proven. True Christianity, if we follow it to its logical conclusion, eliminates double-mindedness. It crowds it out. They can't coexist. See, we can have joy. Also, we know why we suffer. We talked about that. I'm not going to dive into that too much. We talked about that last week, first hour. We know why we suffer. Some scripture for that, though. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a preview of our study on Tuesday, Josh. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 6. Actually, and I hate jumping in the middle of a sentence. Let's go to verse 3. Sorry. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you do not see him, you love him. And though you have not seen him, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. For a little while, here's some hope. For a little while, if necessary. Notice he puts that in there. For a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. You might not ever know the reason why you go through something. But the one thing, this is where we learn perseverance. This is where we learn how to walk in faith. Even though you might not ever know why in this life you are being distressed by a various trial, you can trust in this. It's necessary. It's necessary. This is where trust comes in. Look, if we're going to trust God for our eternal salvation, we need to trust him that he knows what he's doing if we get through going through a various trial. It's necessary. And look, what it's going to result in, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what the whole thing might boil down to? Is so that the proof of your faith becomes visible. So that when Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven in glory, the proof of your faith glorifies him extra. check that out. Your perseverance in the trials that you're going through is going to add to God being glorified when he appears. Now, I want you to wrap your head around this. When he appears in his physical glory, the universe is going to burn up and disappear. God is letting us know that equally as valuable and equally as glorifying to that where his glory appears, the proof of your faith in staying persevering through your trials is going to cause him to be glorified additionally. You look at that and you see God coming in physical creation and the universe being split apart in the blink of an eye. You think, God, we can't possibly glorify God more than he can glorify himself by just appearing. Wrong. The perseverance of you going through your trial and building your faith and trucking along still, trusting in him, even though he says you do not see him, is going to add to his glorification. We know why we suffer. As bad as we feel for Mark and Jay, I'm going to be a little bold here because I think I know Katie well enough. I've known her for years. While she might have a little something in the pit of her stomach, there's some excitement there too. Knowing that she might actually be coming to the time where she gets to behold Jesus Christ face to face. I'm pretty confident in that. Said I've known her for 20 years. I'm pretty confident in that. We know why we suffer. You know what else? What other reason we can have hope? We're being transformed. You can't go through the stuff that I just talked about, that the scripture just mentioned, and not recognize that you're being transformed. I'll tell you what, there isn't a whole lot of things more exciting. I mean, when you're dealing with yourself, looking at yourself, there's not a whole lot of things more exciting than the fact that you can see yourself changing. That you can see the character of God being created in your life. That's pretty awesome. And it's not an arrogant thing if you're being objective and looking at the scripture. It's not an arrogant thing. God wants you to see that. He wants you to see progress. He wants you to see growth. And that gives you hope. It pumps you up. It helps you to be perseverant. Now, we can deceive ourselves sometimes in thinking that we are having progress when we're not. That's why staying firmly grounded in the Word of God. But one of the things 1 John lets us know is, by this we know that we're in him, by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. So there has to be something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And this is the thing that never made sense to me when I didn't understand our potential in Christ. There has to be something objective that the Holy Spirit produces in us that we can look at, that we can say that we abide in him because of the Holy Spirit that he has given us. Also, we know that we have the Holy Spirit because of the Word of God. But there's more to it than that. The Holy Spirit has to produce the fruit of the Spirit. He has to. The only thing that limits the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a Christian is their faith and participation in the transformation process. God will not override your free will. He will not override your lack of participation. However, you give him permission, you engage in the process, the fruit of the Spirit will be abundantly produced in the life of the Christian. So we know we are being transformed. I'm trying to think if I have enough time. Nope, I don't. I'm only halfway through my list. I was ambitious and I thought I could get through it all. But I got a whole other sermon here. So we'll talk more. Stay tuned for the second part. Part two of what we can hope in next week.
I hope we finish it then.
I hope we finish it too. Absolutely. Thank you, Joel. Well, even if it is, it's just
more to hope for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll go ahead and stop there today. I know that's not a smooth ending at all. But hey, you get what you pay for. We'll go ahead and close out with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are so thankful that you are on the throne. You're in control. Nothing surprises you. Everything is working exactly according to plan. In the trials that we are privileged enough to go through, prove our faith and result in you being glorified even more at your coming, which just is a mind-boggling concept to try to wrap your head around. Lord, thank you for giving us so much great information that it cures us of our double-mindedness and gives us a hope that does not disappoint. Lord, help us to push forward hard in an unrelenting way that we can honor you and glorify you in everything we do. It's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.